the Dark Death Podcast, your go-to place for the modern and legacy format. I'm one of your hosts, Billy Mitchell, and with me, is Michael Mapson. My audio actually ended up having some technical issues, we'll say, and ended up losing a bunch of my audio. So I didn't want to leave you without anything. Mapson was actually so nice to continue our conversation, even though I did happen to cut out. So I'm going to just recap some of the things that happened in the beginning of our conversation, and then let Mapson kind of play us out here. We do want to shout out all of our patrons and all of our supporters, all of our listeners across the world who've gotten shirts and sweatshirts and whatnot. We definitely love the fact that we are seeing them in the wild. I'm wearing my pink one right now, the pink hoodie, and I obviously love the feel. If you missed out on the campaign, you could definitely still go to bonfire.com and find Dark Depth Podcast. Shirts are still available. There should be a link on our show Twitter, so definitely check that out. Mapson is going to be in SCG Pittsburgh this weekend, so check him out. He's going to talk a little bit about what he's playing in Modern and what he's going to be playing in Legacy. He is going to be playing the Modern 5K on Friday, on Saturday playing the CEDH 5K, and then on Sunday playing the Legacy 5K. So if you're going to be in Pittsburgh, definitely find him, harass him for tokens, all that fun stuff. In addition, we're talking about a couple decks that we were pretty interested in, fascinated in terms of their performance and things that we like right now. Obviously, the Red-Black Scam is one of the most popular decks we're seeing in the Modern metagame, but it is one of many choices. I myself have been playing a lot of the Red-White Burn deck. I think the deck is very well positioned. We are seeing a lot of decks that are trying to cast free spells, trying to cast things off of Cascade, maybe even, you know, just casting things off of Suspend. And one of the things I really love about the deck is Burn right now is playing four copies of Whirling Vortex, which if you want to cast a spell for free, that's fine, but you're taking five damage, which is really good in this metagame where people are trying to cast Grief and Fury and Solitude, Endurance as a, you know, a way to tax your graveyard. A lot of these different things end up getting punished really, really badly when you're pressuring their life total anyways. And I think with the fetch shock mana bases we're seeing, a lot of people naturally work themselves down to 15 or 14 during course of a game. Something like Whirling Vortex can very easily represent a third of their life total, and that's not to mention the fact it prevents them from getting life and deals them one every turn. It seems like a very easy recipe for success. So I've really been enjoying it. If you've seen me in the Modern League, I've been jamming that deck a ton. Matches are very, very quick, and you're able to, well, me at least, I'm able to fit in a number of leagues, even though I do have obviously some other obligations to worry about. I actually had a game where I was gone for like the first like 4 minutes. I had to take care of something with one of my daughters, and came back and was like, oh gosh, and then jumped into the match and still finished in somehow like 15 minutes, which is amazing. So definitely a deck to check out for, if you're interested in playing something a little different. That still has a good matchup versus Scam deck. I really have been enjoying Burn. I think at this point, I think I'm going to splice Mapson back in so you can hear his thoughts. He's going to jump in talking about his experience playing, what he's going to be playing in SCG Pittsburgh for Modern, which is going to, it looks like, be Amulet, which, shocker, is a deck that he was always interested in. He's going to talk about one of his favorite additions from the new set. And if you are playing in SCG Pittsburgh this weekend, it looks like you can play with the new card. So best of luck to you, and hopefully I will see you in the future. All right, bye.
Yeah, so I actually kind of enjoy playing the Beans decks. That's not where I'm going. If I wanted to just, like, play Beans Mirrors, I would play a Bring the Light build, I think. I'm not sure if the deck is necessarily correct currently. I think it might need minor tweaks, but just being able to kind of go over to the top of the mirror has proved to be really strong for me. So I do like that deck in that matchup. I am going to... Honestly, I might bring the deck with me, but I'm planning to play good old trusty Amulet. I'm not sure that it is necessarily the correct choice, but I do think it's reasonable. I think your Beans matchup is probably close. I'll be honest, this is completely theory. The old four-color matchup was, I felt favored. I know people who thought four-color was favored. I think, I don't know. I just thought Amulet was favored. I think a lot of people didn't know how to approach the matchup. The current Beans decks are stronger than those decks were, so I can't imagine the matchup is as good. But to me, that means that this matchup is probably close, and I am just going to bet on myself to play better than my opponents. The Scam matchup sucks, but they're playing less Blood Moons than they have, so the matchup at least gets better. And then your deck is just generically very powerful, so it can only ever be so weak against the rest of the field. The other deck that's really popular right now has been, well, a mix of Tron and Coffers, and you're, like, pretty favored against other big mana decks. But the new set is coming out. Technically, it comes out next weekend, so that means the cards are legal this weekend, because that makes sense. Look, I love pre-releases, and I don't want them to go away, but the branding is terrible. They're, like, I don't understand why we have pre-release this weekend and then release next weekend. They need to get rid of release and just pre-release is release, the end. And you still do, like, the traditional pre-release stuff where, like, you have, like, people showing up and playing sealed and everything, but I don't know, just, like, hey, we can sell it for this weekend, and then we can't sell it for 7 days, and then we can sell it again, but the cards are illegal the whole time. Like, none of it, like, I don't know. It feels so made up. But anyways, the Lost Caverns of Ixalan cards are legal this weekend, so I am going to be playing copies of Spelunking in my deck. So for those who don't know what that card says, it is 2 in a green for an enchantment, and it's basically explore when it comes in, but it also has a line of text on it that kind of makes up for the fact it costs 3 rather than 2. So it's, when it enters, you draw a card, then you may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield. If you put a cave onto the battlefield this way, you gain 4 life. I searched, there's no caves I want to play. The only cave that I would consider is the green one that discovers 4. But it also has the line of text, lands you control enter the battlefield untapped. And that is really powerful, obviously. It's similar to just playing another Amulet of Vigor. But what makes it a little bit different is that it's a replacement effect rather than a trigger. So what a lot of people incorrectly think is that it means, like, double Amulet is no longer good. That's not the case. Double Spelunking is not good, but double Amulet is still good. Because Spelunking says that the cards enter the battlefield untapped, that's actually a replacement effect. And on your Karoo lands, when they say, like, this land enters the battlefield tapped, that is also a replacement effect. So in the case of playing a Simic Growth Chamber or a Porous Garrison, we actually get the choice on which replacement effect takes place. So if I have a Spelunking and double Amulet out, I can still just choose to have the land enter tapped as it normally would and untap twice. So I think Spelunking adds a lot of value to specifically the Scam matchup. Explore is a card that is good there because you need to be able to move forward while keeping up on cards. I also think you can cut Urza Saga now in that matchup. Urza Saga is pretty good against Scam, but has the notable downside of being weak against the card Blood Moon. Spelunking giving you essentially additional ways of finding an amulet. It's not actually amulet, but again, it functions very similar. So being able to give you what you're looking for without just dying to Blood Moon is really huge. And then also just, like, being Explore, which is already a card you want in the matchup. So I just think Spelunking has a lot of power there. I'm not quite sure what my final list is going to look like. I mean, obviously, I haven't played with the card yet. I believe I'm going to register 3 copies in my main deck on Saturday, or Friday, I mean. I might actually register 2 and then play a 3rd in the sideboard. I think that's probably correct, but I kind of just want knowledge, so I kind of want to jam as many of them in the main deck as I can, but maybe that's not ideal. So that's where I'm at. For the listeners, sometime during that monologue, Billy cut out, and I don't know if he's going to come back. I know he was having trouble with his internet today, but I did want to just, like, keep this going, especially since we didn't get a recording out last week, and I don't know when he's going to come back, and that could pose issues for me. So hopefully you guys do end up hearing this. So that's where I'm at with Spelunking. I think it's going to make Amulet a very good choice. And if not, no hard feelings. I'm going to have a bunch of fun playing the deck either way. So going on to Sunday. Sunday, I'm going to play Red White Initiative. This is probably not a shock to anybody who has been paying attention. That deck has been putting up great results for me. So I've played 4 premier events with the deck, and my results in those 4 events has been 2 top 4s, a top 16, and a 2nd place. I don't know. The deck's just, like, it's so good. I still am not convinced I know how to sideboard, and it just, like, doesn't matter. Most of my match wins are 2-0. Like, the deck is incredibly, incredibly powerful, and it's actually pretty fun. That being said, the scam matchup is somewhat close, so I'm not sure where exactly that is going to... So I guess what I should say is I'm not sure how that matchup is going to end up playing out for me if I end up playing it a bunch. There's a lot of things I've considered to try to shore up that matchup. I've seen people play Brutal Cathar, which is something I like. I've seen people talk about playing additional copies of Touch of the Spirit Realm, which is interesting. The card I'm leaning towards is playing Eowyn, Fearless Leader? Fearless Knight. So the problem with the scam matchup is if they turn 1 grief you and reanimate your thing and they get the initiative, it just, like, puts you in such a bad spot. So what a lot of people have taken to doing is they cut their initiative cards post-board. But then when you cut your initiative cards, you're just a weaker strategy. So I think I am leaning towards letting them take my thing. And then if you slam Eowyn, for those who don't know, which is probably most of you, Eowyn is 2 red-white, and it's a 3-4 with haste. When it enters, you exile target creature and opponent controls with greater power. And legendary creatures, which is her, gain protection from each of that creature's color until end of turn. So when it enters, if they have a Seasoned Dungeoneer with any counters on it, you get to exile that. If they have taken your Caves of Chaos Adventurer, you get to exile that. And then you get to attack to actually take that monarchy back. The monarchy or the initiative back. It also exiles a Murktide Regent. So I do like those. Touch of the Spirit Realm does also make a lot of sense, just being like, hey, you took my thing, I'm just going to take it right back. Brutal Cathar does a similar thing. It doesn't obviously get to attack right away, but what's nice about it is if they kill your Brutal Cathar, then you are left with something. But just being a 2-2, it's kind of fragile. Eowyn being a 3-4 means, like, bringing it in, it actually can stand up to other things in combat. The other thing that's nice about Eowyn is it seems like a sick mirror breaker. And I will say, part of this might be just, like, me trying to play the cool card because I think it's cool. But I do think it is something worth considering. All of that being said, I do think Scam has been somewhat on the downswing. It's still a very strong deck, so I'm not really sure what's up with that. If you are going to SCG Pittsburgh, or if you're planning to attend Eternal Weekend in Europe, I would definitely still have a plan for the deck, because, I mean, it is just very strong. In addition to that, Lance has also been putting up a lot of results, so you definitely want to have a plan for that. And The other deck that I do want to talk about that I don't have time to put in work to learn it is the Paradoxical Outcome deck that Tony Scipone has been playing. So Tony actually won the challenge on Sunday, beating me in the top four. And man, I was super impressed by his deck. It just looks so strong. There's like a number of times where you look at the board and it's like, yeah, I mean, you're playing a combo deck. You can't beat that. But being able to have Force of Will in the deck helps a lot. Having access to Urza Saga in your combo deck just means that you actually have a viable beatdown plan in a lot of matchups. I had an Archon out, and I was like, okay, well, he can't beat this Archon. And then he just made constructs that were bigger than anything I could deal with. And he found a manifold key and made them unblockable, and he just murdered me. And then it was like, I tried playing a Chalice on turn one, and he was like, nah, I'm just gonna force that. So I don't know. The deck just seems very well-rounded. And obviously, Tony is very strong, so, you know, if you're not him, your results may vary. But I do think the deck is very good. I would expect some number of this to be seen. Besides, the deck is also really cheap compared to most Legacy decks. The fact that Grim Monolith is almost half the cost of the deck is really funny to me, and that might hold people back because that card doesn't have a lot of applications. But this deck is really good. I would consider trying it if you're a combo player at all and you're looking for something sweet. So definitely look into that deck. The other deck that I think is going to be really big is the control variants. Modern's not the only format that gets to play up the Beanstalk. That card is seeing a ton of play in Legacy as well. It's very strong, and the deck just kind of rewards you for playing cards that people were already playing. Leyline Binding, Force of Will, Lorian Revealed. And then they also get to play probably the best finisher right now anyways, and Forth of Longris. Yeah, that card is just... that card is nuts. And, you know, they get to spend all their resources and just keeping the board clear and making sure they're not dying to anything. And then all of a sudden, they top deck this card, and that's just kind of the whole game, you know? It just ends on the spot. And even if you force it, they have Mystic Sanctuary, so they can get it back. And it will get you out of nowhere. So definitely, I would say, if you are going to one of the events this weekend, have a plan for Beans, have a plan for Scam, and have a plan for Initiative. It's really awkward to have a plan for those decks because they don't really overlap at all. Personally, I'm on the train of, I like doing something proactive in this format. I think if you sit around too long, it's very easy for other decks to go over the top of you. Orcish Bowmasters also kind of punishes people who just sit back and do nothing. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with the Legacy format. So I'm sure Billy would have more thoughts to say if his computer hadn't died halfway through. But, you know, like I said at the start of the episode, he probably hates us. And I just think he wanted out, and this was his way of doing it. But joke's on him, because now he still has to listen to this as he edits it. Just in case I said something inappropriate along the way, and he needs to make it disappear. But without him, I'm not going to keep you guys listening to one-man ramble for too long. So best of luck to everyone who is playing in a pre-release this weekend. Best of luck to anyone who goes to SCG Pit or plays in any other events. Extra luck to those of you who purchased shirts or hoodies or whatever. And if you're in Pittsburgh and you have a shirt or hoodie, I'd love to get a picture with you. And if you're there and you don't have any tokens, definitely find me. I don't have very many tokens, but you should find me and take my remaining tokens. So with that, I'm going to go. And hopefully you guys actually hear this and I'm not just talking for nothing. And in the meantime, if you want to find me online, you can find me at Expedition Map on Twitter and on Blue Sky, where I don't post. If you want to find Billy, you can find him at Bad Luck Bandit on Twitter. I don't think he set up a Blue Sky yet. I should yell at him about that. And if you want to find the show, you can find it at depths_podcast. If you go there, you can find a link tree with all of our stuff. You can definitely find our Bonfire store there so you can purchase merch. And with that, I will see you guys next week.
Yeah, Maya taps with green, the scene sees reclaimer. Untap sack of flagstones, go seek the planes. Then tutor up the stage, so pull out your playbill. Darkness podcast starring Billy Mitchell and Michael Mapson on the microphone. Dripping in Mox diamonds, the collector of curtains up on act one of this magic show. Set in the forest so dense it looks decomposed, with red liquor every night's crush against death shadow. On the legendary lake covered in ice and snow, underneath the surface lurks a lonely evil. An avatar so dark it could cause upheaval. The night lunges forward, going for the kill, but death shadow's too tricky, it just won't sit still. It's stubborn denials compile a stack so thick, the bazooka bug emerges with Gurmag's angling. The night takes a swing at the zombie fishes, but falls submerged for such a distance. Forsaken in the haze of the street wraith's fringes, who wanna stuff her out, they don't seek forgiveness. Her final breath draws a deafening silence, a sound so sinister no one could describe it. It's like the subtle cracking of a turtle shell, or the surgical extraction of emerging hell. The shards of ice feel a force of vigor, the looming fear releases growing bigger and bigger, until a demon's fingers linger toward the shadow of death. An all-consuming hush, the land goes swept. The night washes up, frozen on the ice. Dread Arbor saw her out in the green sun's light. An expedition map suddenly unfurls, revealing Merit Lage has rearranged the world.